justice call for a payment for sin. No one worthy could be found among men, but the precious Son of God with a cross and thorny crown paid the debt with the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Free from sin, free to live now.
So good to see you this morning on a Sunday morning. Look at the one next to you and said, I think I'm the one that makes this congregation look so good. Amen. Brother Jimmy told me at the beginning, right when he came in, this morning he said he heard Brother Rod Parsley say that, I don't know how he comes up with this, I guess they do a study or something, a survey, but he said 2% of Christians, I guess it's so-called Christians included in this, I don't know, 2% of Christians, there's only 2% of Christians that have ever honestly led someone to Christ. That's sad, isn't it? Only 2%. And I asked him, I said, I ought to do a survey in here this morning. Huh? Could we, I don't want to put you on the spot. Yeah, I do. If you are positive that you have witnessed to someone and you have prayed with them and led them into the kingdom of God, you know that you have. Hold your hand up. Well, we're better than 2% in here. Not very much better. But it's our duty for all of us to do this. Amen? All of us. Okay, Brother Jimmy, that's the survey. All right, if you have your Bibles, want to turn with us over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, for what I feel that the Lord is laid on our heart for this service today. Amen. All these papers up here. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 13. We know that the 11th chapter of Hebrews is the Faith Hall of Fame. And these are the heroes of faith. And we need to look at some of their lives. But it says in verse 13, when he names off a few of them, like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. It says, verse 13, these all died in faith. Now, I read this scripture Wednesday night. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What it says here, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but seen them far off. In other words, they endured to the end. They was in God until the end. They stayed faithful until the end. That's what it's saying there. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15 is where we're going. Listen close. You ought to underline this scripture in your Bible. And truly, if they had been mindful, everybody say mindful, of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for this word that you have given us. We ask God today that you would speak to our hearts, every one of us, Lord, whether there's a new convert or someone that don't even know you today, or there's a saint that's been a saint for many years. Lord, you have a way to speak unto all of us simultaneously. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would do that this morning through the word. And God, we just love you today for every soul that has obeyed your voice and to be able to be here today. And Father, we just love you in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Amen. It says that they were persuaded. They were convinced, they was confident, they trusted in God. Rather than being mindful of the way that they used to be and have their mind full of all that, they had their mind full of the things of God. They were persuaded with the things of God. Rather than that country that they came out of, they kept their eyes on God and they endured until the end. Amen. It said that they were, verse 13 said that they were persuaded, they were convinced, they were confident and trusted. They embraced, that means to enfold in the arms. They laid hold onto the things of God. Amen. I'm telling you, if in this world, you know, there's a lot of shaking going on in this world. And if you're not holding on good, you can get shook off of this thing called God. Amen. So you got to hold on to it. Lay hold on to eternal life. Like a woman holds on that pocketbook in the store. There ain't no way you're going to get it out for her arm. You got to hold on to the things of God. Amen. And it said that they confessed them. They professed. They confessed. They acknowledged. It means a covenant. They acknowledged who they were. How often do you acknowledge? Do you look yourself in the mirror and acknowledge who you are? How often do you acknowledge to the world who you are in God? Amen. Do you confess that you are a saint of the Most High? Amen. That you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you confess the things of God? It says that, and truly if they had been mindful of the country that they whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now, in that scripture, in verse 15, if you have your Bibles there, it says, and that word country, is it italicized? It means it was added there for better readability, you will. But that word is really not in the original. So it says, if they had been mindful of that, whether it's a sin or whatever it's a lifestyle or whatever it was, If they'd been thinking on what they used to have, they may have had opportunity to go back. And we look at that in our lives today. If we are mindful of the things that we used to do before we became a saint of God, if we're always looking back at those things and dwelling on those things and those times, that you might have an opportunity come along that you can jump back on that wagon. And amen. That's what he's telling us this morning. If they had been mindful of that country or that life or that lifestyle or that sin, if they had been mindful. Mindful means to exercise memory. It means to make mention of. You know, some people, I remember one time I was in my sister's church years ago, and I heard a preacher preaching, and he got to talking about how that when he was, you know, in sin, that he used to love cigars. He loved to smoke cigars, and he got up there talking about it, and I believe he was actually lusting after a cigar the way he is carrying on about it. I believe he was. You know, you can dwell on things, and if you continue to dwell on things like that, my friend, you'll find yourself acting on those things. He said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Things that are not of God or not of Christ or not of what lifestyle we should be, we need to cast them things down. Amen. Else you'll act on them. If you don't, you go ahead and play with them if you want to. But you'll act on them. You get your mind full of those things. Mindful means to remember or to recall to the mind. And if you look it up, it means to wish that you had it back. Return. They might have opportunity to return. It means to turn back or to bend. In the book of Numbers, in the 14th chapter, in verse 4, when Moses was upon the mountain, the people stood up and he said, "Make us captains. And let us return back to Egypt." Amen. He said, "Moses is not here. Make us captains that'll lead us back to Egypt." And we said, "Well, them people are crazy." Well, what are people doing today? Make us preachers that'll lead us back to what we used to have in sin. In other words, bring the world. Give us preachers that'll bring the world into the church, and we can live like the world and still we can go to heaven. No, you can't either. Amen. Amen. You see, I was thinking about this morning. I guess the reason I've been here 23 years is about the only church around I could preach in. Ain't no other church to have me. Preach too straight. Preach too holy. They say, "We ain't going to have that here." Amen. He said in the book of Acts, in the 7th chapter, verse 38, he said, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness," talking about Christ, "with the angel," same gospel too, "which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Moses received the word to give to the people the same way that I received the word from God to give to us today. It's like when I'm studying, it's like Moses being on the mountain and Moses come down. And when Moses got down there, what did he find? Verse 39, it says, "To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt." That's what he said. Make us captains that will lead us back to Egypt. "Saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become of him." He'd been up there 30 days, up there seeking God. And they down here playing. Amen. A man that was looking out for the people. A man that would intercede for the people. Amen. A man that would go before the presence of God. And he's there seeking God. And they're down there playing again. And they forgot all about him. Verse 41, "And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifices unto the idols and rejoiced in the works of their own hands." Amen. You see, there's denominations today leaving the roots that their forefathers had placed down of holiness and righteousness and living close to God and the things of God. And they're leaving it. They're walking away from it. It's sad, isn't it? Wanting the ways of the world more than the things of God. It says in Luke's gospel, the 17th chapter, verse 32, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. You see, backsliding comes over a period of time. You don't just wake up one morning and somebody backslid and say, well, they was doing good last week. Boy, they was on fire for God last week and they backslid. No, they was not. They might have been fooling you and they might have been fooling preacher, but they wasn't fooling God. Come on. You fool some of the people some of the time. You can't fool all the people all the time. Backsliding comes over a period of time. You see, Jesus, when Jesus was there at the supper there, and he says that one of you shall betray me. That wasn't something just came to him all of a sudden. He'd been watching the times of Judas, like when the woman came to wash his feet and Judas is a man that said, hey, we could have took that all and sold it, you know. Jesus knew what was in that man. Jesus knew who he was. He'd been watching him. He'd been knowing it all along. He'd been knowing that he's kind of slipping off at other times. Come on. But when he was around Jesus, oh, Jesus is the man. Oh, this is it. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, 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 no. Amen. It says Psalms 101, verse 2. David says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? Listen to this real close. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Well, I should have said, I will walk in the church with a perfect heart. Wait a minute. We can do what we want to at home. It's just when we're at church, you're supposed to live right. David said, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. How many of us does this? Come on. Come on. That is called integrity. Integrity means that we do the right thing when nobody is watching. That is integrity. And God honors integrity. A man of an upright heart walks with integrity when nobody else is watching. We'll do the right thing. Come on. How many of us say, nobody ever knows? Oh, yeah, they will. You see, David had to learn this. He said in verse 3, he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. How many church people has got a wicked thing sitting before their eyes there with a remote control and watching some woman undress in front of them and some sexual perversion going on in front of them, and they sit there and soak it up and watch it. Come on, and then get up and go try to get their Bible out and read it. Got HBO and all those and all kind of cuss words coming through and pornography. Come on, church. Come on. David said, I will put no wicked thing before my eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, David said. It shall not cleave to me. Verse 4, it says, a forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. You see, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Well, Brother Dave, I kind of hang out with some wicked people. Well, let me tell you right now, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump, and a small foxes will spoil the vine. Amen. That's what happens.
What happens is that a little temptation comes along, James tells us in the first chapter of James, if you're taking notes, and it says a little temptation to come along, and you'll start, you know, hanging around and kind of flirting with it and lusting after it. And then what happens, you'll get enticed by it. And then when you get enticed by it, you'll conceive. And how many has ever conceived? When a man knows a woman, you conceive. You might not think that it's going to give birth, but you're going to give birth to something sooner or later. Amen. And it's going to give birth to sin, and sin's going to bring death into your life. Do not err, my dear beloved brother. You see, David learned this firsthand. David said, I will, what did he say? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He had to learn this the hard way. David was, we only tell the story that David was on his couch in the afternoon, where usually he is out on the battlefield, but he done got off the battlefield and got kind of laying on the couch. But I think he was there for a reason. He know Bathsheba goes out about that time every afternoon and lays out on the rooftop. So he kind of made his calendar up to be there that afternoon. And every afternoon he'd look. I just wonder how many days that he gazed over on that rooftop and look at her. See, we only read about there that he got up off his couch and looked and he saw her and he sent and he wanted her and he went and he had sex with her and she got impregnated and had a child and she was a married woman. He was too. Come on. Church world is full of that junk. My God, it ought not be. Listen, I wonder how many days did David look over on the roof and say, mm-mm. And he began to lust. I need to go out here on the battlefield. I need to preach this message. I need to teach it. I need to be a witness. I'm a Christian. Getting lusted. Enticed a little bit. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a Christian, y'all. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Live like me if you go to heaven. Enticed. Conceived. Come on, church. It happens every day in the church world. In the church world. Where he should not be. In the church world. Well, David, you preach like you mad. Yes, I'm mad. I'm mad at the devil. And I'm mad at ignorant people following the devil and he leading them into hell. The child that they conceived in that sin died. One sin adds to another sin. For those of you who don't know, it only gets worse. She called her husband in from the front of the battle and out there on the battlefield brought him in. But he had integrity. He says, I'll not go in my house of comfort with my wife and my home and my soft bed when my brother's right there on the battlefield. And he slept outside the house. He didn't go in. David thought he'd go in and lay with her and everybody think that it was his child. David was the king. And David said, he found out that he didn't go in. Oh, he was all angry. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to get caught. See, people forget to look up. God already knew about it. And so he sends him out on the battlefield to the very front, to the most heated battle. Put him out on the front lines where he's definitely going to get killed. And he got killed. The man of God came to David though. The man of God came to David and sat down with David and said, David, there was this man. He had all kind of sheep, all the sheep he ever wanted. And there was this one man that had one little ewe lamb. That's all he had. It's just this one. And this man that had everything went over there and took that little bitty lamb. David said, "You tell me who did such a thing. I'll get him." He said, Nathan said, "Thou art the man. You're the man, David." David learned this. So David says, "Now I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. I learned that in my house, I have to live in my house like I live out on the street. And on the street as I do in my home. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes." Are y'all with me this morning? Hebrews in the 10th chapter, verse 38, he says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall," God says, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him." No pleasure. That means God will not think well of you. He will not approve of you. You'll be unapproved of God if you draw back. I like the positive part, verse 39, "But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Amen? Amen? Amen. Glory to God. 2 Peter 2 and 19, he says, "While they promised them liberty." This is a church world as we see the church happening today. The church of today, "while they promised them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," in other words, that they've gotten saved, "they are again entangled," backslide, "therein, and overcome," become a sinner, "the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than..." I wonder what some other preachers are preaching this morning. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. If it feels good, do it. Y'all get stuck with this. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Why would it be better? Because in hell they lift up their eyes and said, "I had it in my hands. My name was written in the book. I had it made and I let it go." Wow. Obey the Lord. "Yea, I say unto thee, know them that labor among you, know them in whom you follow. Watch their lives, know them like you know yourself. Because I say unto you, you live in a day that you know not. You live in a day that there are so many that go opposite ways of mine. But my way is the only way. I say unto you, do not depart from my way to the left or to the right, because you will miss the mark. And I say unto you, that mark is very close and it's nigh unto you. It is closer than you can imagine. But I say unto you, my song and my heart is to them that hold dear unto me, that hold dear unto the end, that wait for my return, to wait for my call. I am calling for them and my eyes is upon them. And I say unto thee, do not depart from my ways. Do not listen to a false way, but listen to my way, for my way leads to life. saith the Lord. Lift your hands and praise the Lord, this house. Second Peter 2:22, he says, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. Oh God, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In other words, it makes God sick, just like it makes others sick when we don't do the right thing. People watch our lives. People are watching you. Hebrews in the 6th chapter in verse 4, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they had the goods and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew, to just reinstate them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. That's what's happening in the church world today. People go out and they sin all week long and they come back and just try to get renewed. And the church is full of vomit and the church is full of things that is contrary to what God would have. The church is full of the guilt of the blood of Jesus Christ. They crucified Jesus Christ afresh, putting him to an open shame. Hebrews 10:26, it says, for if we sin willfully, that means voluntarily. He's not talking about someone that just got saved and you don't know how to walk. You trip up and fall. Don't get discouraged and quit on God. No. Get back up. The winner is the one that crosses the finish line. Anybody can quit. It's the one that gets back up. The Bible's full of examples of people that fail, but they got back up. But those who sin willfully, they voluntarily sin. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We just can't renew ourselves. No. We have to come and repent. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. And then we look at the church and we say, church, forgive me. Forgive me. Amen. We not only sin against God when we sin, but we sin against the church. And we need to repent to God and repent to the church. The problem with so many of the church, they don't repent to the church. And the church carpet is full of unrepentedness and their feelings and all kind of problems. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Hebrews 11:24, he says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, in other words, when we get saved, those unclean spirits come out. Then he walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I will return into my house once I came out. And if he come and he find it swept and garnished. In other words, we ain't put no furniture in there. We didn't think Sunday school was important. Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning good enough. We didn't put no furniture in. That's what you're doing this morning. You're putting furniture in. Every time you come, you're getting furniture. Every time you open the Bible and study, you're getting furniture. You're getting rooted and grounded. Amen. You're getting something that'll, you know, the right way. You're getting the truth. You're getting your mind full of the gospel. Your heart full of the gospel. Finds it swept and garnished. You peep through the window. Ah, they just play in church. They ain't the church. And he said they'll go out and get seven more wicked than they are. And they'll come back. And they'll have a party. And they'll throw this party and they'll take over that weak vessel. And he said the latter end of that man is worse than the beginning. Amen. Luke 8:13, he says that they, that on the rock, this is sore. the parable of the sower. Read it when you get home, the whole thing. But I just picked this one here, verse 13. The Lord did. He said, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these having what? No root. They're not rooted and grounded in God. How do you think this church has lasted 23 years? It wasn't getting a little Reader's Digest message on every once in a while. It was not getting one little scripture here and there, little breadcrumbs. Come on. It's because the Word of God is founded on the Word of God. The Word of God is preached here. And you're given the Word of God. You're given scriptures, so many scriptures that almost choked people to death. And it's not an eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which road should I go? No. It's a one way, straight and narrow. It's not a multiple choice thing. They believe for a while, but the time of temptation, what happens? Lust, enticed, conceived, sin, death. Backslid. Ezekiel 18:24 says, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Come on, what's these people talking about? You can sin a little bit every day, still go to heaven. I mean, some church people say, well, Brother Dave, you can't live without sin. Well, I say, well, you can't go to heaven. Well, Brother Dave, I don't believe that. I could care less if you believe it or not. I read the book. This message here, I'll start on about 9 o'clock yesterday morning. I finished about 1 o'clock. I don't just sit down there, you know, 5-minute little sermonette. Most of the time I have to spend more time getting it smaller to preach it in this little window I got. All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. You know what's that telling me? That tell me all them people that did a great work for a lot of years and then backslid out on God. If they don't come back when I get to heaven, I'm going to claim them things. Huh? They don't want them. I'm going to get them. Somebody got to get them. Huh? What y'all think? I think so. Glory. In his trespasses that he hath trespassed, and in his sin, it didn't say sin. What's that? Romans 6:23, what? For the wages of what?
Sin.
Now y'all know what it says, sins, don't it? Oh, sin, just one. Is what?
Sin.
Wow. You got to work for wages, don't you? People working their way go to hell. But the gift, But the gift of God is eternal life. You know how to do nothing for a gift, just receive it. Wow. Which is easier to live? And in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Ezekiel 3:18, he says, When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou give him not warning. I wonder, there's a lot of preachers and teachers read this scripture. Not warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from his way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. When I walked in here this morning, I was covered with every one of your soul and every one of your blood. But when I walk out of here, I'll be white and pure, amen, of all your blood, because I've delivered what God told me to give you. I'm cleansed from all men's blood. Is that because I've told what God had given me? You see, it's a big responsibility to be a preacher or a teacher or a witness, to tell people the right thing. Verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when the righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thy warn the righteous man, and the righteous man sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Amen. Proverbs 21 and 16, he said, The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Come on. He's not once saved, always saved. If he goes away and walks away from God, he'll die in his sin. Better not risk it. I wish they was right. But if they're right, we both win. But if I'm right, I like too much more. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. You say, well, Brother Dave, every church teaches Jesus Christ. He ain't talking about that. What he's talking about is what the power of the blood does. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Come on, there's a change going on. What he's talking about is they come to church and they come one way and they leave the same way they came. It's like they put on the sign, come as you are and leave as you were. There's no change. Amen? Sad, isn't it? I believe there's a change going to be happening. Come on, church. When you tell me that you have come and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, I believe there's going to be a change in you. Verse 2, it says, and many. Where have I heard that many? That's that Broadway, isn't it? And many that go therein. And many shall follow their pernicious and ruinous ways, by whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Oh, you don't want to go to them old legalistic churches. Look at the one next to you and say, you better know the truth. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth. What is truth? Pilate asked, what is truth? What is truth? I tell you, a lot of them funny books they preach out of ain't the truth. Well, Dave, ain't nothing wrong with them. Well, you miss out on a whole lot. Like from King James to NIV, there's over 64,000 words less. I guess it don't matter. That's why you got to know them that labor among you. Second Peter 3:2. That ye may be, what's that word said?
Mindful
of the words which were spoken before by who? Holy prophets. What's wrong with just prophets? Holy prophets. Because up here he said false prophets. So we need to, not false prophets, but holy prophets is who we need to follow. In other words, we're to have our mind full of the gospel. Somebody, my dad one time says,
what's so-and-so's phone number? He said, I don't know. I'll have to look it up here. He said, you don't know his number? He said, I'd rather have a good scripture up there than a phone number. You know, some people, they say, well, I just can't remember scripture. Who told you you can't remember scripture? Who told you you was naked? Who told you you couldn't do that? Help us, Lord. Those come in from us this morning. Look at 1:2. Say, I got to have my mind full of the truth. As John 8:32 said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. The church is the salt of the earth. But if the church has lost its savor, if it's lost its character, if it's lost its testimony. I think to the world, the church world is kind of a laughing stock sometimes. I think they laugh at the church. I think some of the, even the young people look, some of the old people laugh at them. They're so easily deceived and they can see right through it. He said, if the salt loses its savor, how is it going to get its savor back? I mean, if the church loses its character, how do you get it back? I mean, think about it now. We're talking about turning back. We're talking about if it had been mindful of that country whence they came out, they may have had opportunity to go back. We need to think about this morning, church. I remember back years ago. Y'all remember, some of you that was living then, when Jimmy Swaggart fell. Y'all remember? How many remember that? I hope that he's repented. I hope that he's back. I watch him preach sometime, you know, on Sunday afternoon. If it's on there, him or Donnie or his grandson, I'll watch him. You know, if he's preaching the word, I hear. But how you get that character back? I never, Brother Wayne, it's never a time that I don't turn it on and see him on there that I don't think about that. When we lose our testimony, how do we get it back? How do we get it back? How does the salt get its saltiness back? How does it get its character, testimony? There's ways. The Bible here does it. I mean, there's Peter denied Christ. I mean, the Bible in here. Don't lose hope this morning. If you've lost your Savior, don't lose hope. There's hope in the Bible right here. The Word, the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't take me wrong. What the Lord has said to us this morning, we need to each look and examine ourselves today, that we are accountable one to another. Don't you hold me accountable as your pastor? Don't you want me to have a upstanding lifestyle? Don't you want me to have a good testimony in the community? Come on. Don't you want that of me? Well, I want that of you. You see what we got to do, church? We got to be like these here in Hebrews. It said they were persuaded. They were convinced. They was confident. They trusted. They embrace. They put their arms around it. And they professed it. They acknowledged it. They had a covenant. They had a confession of their faith. I ask you today, what are you mindful? What is your mind full of? What is your mind full of? Whatever your mind is full of, it's going to eventually get to your heart and you're going to act on it. What are you mindful of today? The king asked Nehemiah, he said,
How long shall your journey be? You started out with the Lord. How long will your journey be? Are you going to make it to the end? You got a made up mind? You going to make it? I made up my mind when I got saved. I'm going to serve God. I just flat made my mind up. 2 Corinthians 8 and 12 says, first there must be a willing mind. You got to make your mind up. Can't half serve God. How long will your journey be? It said in John 6:6:6. Very good place for this scripture. John 6:6:6. And many of them returned, you know, what did he say? Many of them went back and walked with him no more. Wow. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, he talked about Jesus here. Went back from Jesus. Walked with him no more. Luke 9:62 says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because you got to understand plowing a field. What happens is when you begin to look back, you pull the rein of that mule and that mule will turn and you start ripping up other crop. When you turn back, you'll affect other people and you'll affect their life too when you turn back. See, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. I'm my brother's keeper. I'm responsible for one another. You know what makes the success of this church? Everybody hold your finger up that way. Number one is God. And then right here, do this. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. They had been mindful of that country, that way, that life. If they had been keep looking back, they might have had opportunity to go back. Because the devil is waiting and he's watching, and he's watching your action, and he's over in the bushes, and he's mad because you're serving God. You can't stand it. But if he sees you kind of looking back, lagging back from the crowd. Oh, yeah. He'll give you that opportunity. Are you with me this morning? I want you to examine yourself right now. I want you to just bow your head and just close your eyes right there where you're at. I want you to examine yourself. Reflect on what we've talked about here this morning. Nobody is going to stand before you and God. You are. Nobody be there with you. It's you and God. You need to work this out right here this morning between you and God. I'm going to ask you to come just a moment. I want you to respond, but I want you to examine yourself right now. I say, Lord, am I really mindful? My mind full of you? Or is there other things, God, that could give me opportunity to go the other way? God, I don't want to go back. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to be faithful to the end. I want to endure to the end. I want to do a great work for you, God. I want to be sold out to you. I want to have a made up mind. Are you ready this morning? Do you need to respond this morning when I ask you to stand? I want you to just keep moving. I want you to come up this altar and I want you to kneel down. I want you to talk with God this morning. Are you ready? On three, here we go. One, two, three. Stand up all over this house and come this way. Come on. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord.